Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Wow, I got to see that movie. Well, actually, I think I have seen it. Yeah, I've seen it. You've all seen it, huh? Amen. Hey, so everybody doing something special for Mom today, right? So, like, taking her out to eat, making something. What do you hear? Planting flowers, cleaning the car, cleaning the basement. So I asked Roxanne, what do you want to do for Mother's Day? She says, well, I don't want to go out to eat because it's like a two-hour wait. So that's kind of true. She said, I'll just make dinner. No, man, you can't do that, you know. So I call Hannah and Paul and Jason, the kids. What should we do for Mother's Day? They go, well, I don't know, you know, we got to figure this thing out. And then I got an epiphany. So I think I get a little credit for this. I'm not sure. I said, Roxanna, I'll smoke some brisket for you. So all day yesterday, actually all night, so I was up every hour and a half since 8 o'clock last night making brisket for Roxanna's Mother's Day, all right? Yeah, she deserves it. You deserve it, Rox. Awesome mom. You know, speaking about moms, I probably never have shared this with you, but I feel like I could be a little vulnerable this morning. I had probably one of the meanest moms in the world. Yeah. I had the meanest mom in the whole world. While other kids ate candy for breakfast, my mom made us eat hot cereal, oatmeal. While other kids had Pepsi and Twinkies for lunch, I had to eat sandwiches and fruit. And you can guess, our mom fixed dinner different from what other kids ate. We always had to have vegetables. Mom always insisted on knowing where we were all the time. It's like we were like criminals, you know? She had to know who our friends were and what we were doing. She made us go in the house every night when the streetlights went on. Unbelievable. She insisted if we said we were going to do something, she made us do it. It's unbelievable. And this probably shouldn't get out, but she had the nerve to break child labor laws. She did. She made us clean the house, wash the dishes, make our beds, learn how to cook, vacuum the floor, do our own laundry. I testify, this is my mom. I had to do my own laundry. I think sometimes she came up with new jobs at night while she was laying on her bed exhausted, you know. She insisted we always had to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And then by the time we were teenagers, I know she could read our minds. They're mind readers, you know. And she knew what was going on, and then she would make sure if our friends came to the house, they couldn't beep their horn. They had to come up to the door and introduce themselves. Just mean. While other kids could date when they were 12 or 13, we couldn't date till we were like 16, some of us till we were 18, you know. And Sundays, no discussion. Reserved for church, and we always had to wear nice clean clothes. Unbelievable. Now that we've all left home, all of Mom's kids are God-fearing, educated, honest adults. And we are doing our absolute best to be mean parents. Because I think that's what's wrong with the world. We need some more moms like that. So, you know, I was having this discussion with Roxanne the other day about, I don't know where I just got this idea. Who would you define as 100% sold out to God? So give me some names. So she's thinking, she says, Heidi Baker. If you don't know Heidi Baker, she is a missionary to Africa, phenomenal lady, has started hundreds of orphanages and churches. I mean, incredible lady. So I'm thinking, yeah, she's pretty incredible. And then who else? I don't know, Mother Teresa maybe was, Franklin Graham. And then Jason, my son, walks in and we say to Jason, hey, Jason, who would you say is 100% or who's sold out like serving God all the time? Jason said, pastors, evangelists, missionaries. I said, I love you, Jason. You're awesome. Yeah. You know, and so then we started talking. So what do we mean by 100%er? What's a 100%er? So we started coming up with little definitions. Like, 100%er is somebody who 24/7 is serving people. 100%er is somebody who 24/7 is teaching people about God. And 100%er would be somebody who spends a lot of their time, if not 24/7, trying to advance the kingdom of God by keeping peace and being a peacemaker. And then, bing, epiphany. Epiphany. Guess who that really is? Mom. Especially Christian moms. I mean, we got into this discussion, and no, this is no joke. I am now thoroughly convinced the one person who is the most sold out to God, 100%er, way more than me, way more than a minister, a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary. I not in the same category. Moms, you are the 100%ers, and to this morning, we salute you. You are incredible. You really are incredible. 24/7, man. Doesn't matter if you're a stay-at-home or not. As soon as you get home, you're on it, man. It's just nonstop. But wow, what an occupation. What a calling. And you know, Mother's Day, I didn't even realize this, but Mother's Day is celebrated all over the world. This is one of the more universal holidays in the world. Like, almost every country in the world celebrates Mother's Day today, second Sunday of May, which is kind of incredible. There's only a few other holidays that are international, like Christmas, Easter. But Mother's Day, sometimes it's a little challenging, you know, because, you know, there's lots of ladies here today, and you know, there's all kinds of emotions when you start talking about Mother's Day. Like some of us, we've lost our moms. My mom passed away 10 years ago, and every year Mother's Day would be like, oh man, it would be just nice to say hi to Mom, how you doing, you know, it's like, I miss her. And then there's some of us that, you know, you hear Mother's Day, and it's like, never got along with my mom, and then we start feeling bad about that, and it brings up bad feelings. And there's ladies that never had children for whatever reason, couldn't have kids, and so that gets bad feelings. And you know, there's just, you know, all this different kind of stuff, and so you got to, like, process through this. So I think the hardest one is, like, just saying Happy Mother's Day sometimes makes ladies feel guilty, because it's like, well, I just wasn't the perfect mom, you know. And so you know, you go through these things, like, but here's my take. I still think it's worth celebrating, and I think it's a holiday that it's incredible that it's celebrated throughout the world. So what I want to do this morning, just take a few minutes and read you some scripture about an awesome mom of the Bible. You ready for that? Take out your Bibles. It's in Judges chapter 5 this morning. Judges chapter 5. So in Judges, you're reading about the story of Israel. Israel is going through these ups and downs. When they have a judge leading them and the judge is righteous, the country is doing well. When they have an unrighteous judge, things go bad. Or when they have no judge, things go bad. At the time of this lady in the Bible that we're about to read, her name is Deborah. The country had been in 20 years chaos. No leadership, martial law, oppressed by the enemies. And then you get into Judges chapter 5, and it starts talking about this lady Deborah. Chapter 5, just one verse here. Village life, this is verse 7. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. How's that for an intro? Life was messed up, she said, in Israel. Actually, if you back up a verse, it even says the highways were deserted. The travelers walked along the byways. And then it says village life ceased. Chaos. And the people started crying out to God. God, we need your help. God, deliver us from these enemies. God, restore normal life again. And what does God do? He sends a mother. Didn't send a general. Didn't send a prophet, didn't send a judge, although she really was all three of those. He sends a mother. And I believe that this is not that uncommon throughout history, like even U.S. history. Just different moms that stand out to me. I'm sure there are many more, but I think of Rosa Parks, a mother who ignited the civil rights movement by refusing to give up her seat on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. Harriet Beecher Stowe, a mother who awakened the conscience of America to the evils of slavery. And then there's another lady, Emmeline Pankhurst, was arrested 12 times in 1 year, 1902, one of the leaders who fought for the women's right to vote, a mother. And then we have here, Deborah. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, rose. Everybody say it. A mother. God raises up mothers. And sometimes, I just think sometimes motherhood is just not really grasped by most people. It takes phenomenal skill to be a mom. I got this email a while back. It said, if you're thinking of being a mom, here's a simple test to see if you're ready. It says, go shopping in a grocery store and take the closest thing you can find to a preschooler with you shopping. If you can't get a preschooler, take a full-grown an adult goat. That's excellent. And if you're planning on having more than one child, take two goats. And then go shopping. And while you're shopping, buy a week's worth of groceries while never losing sight of the two goats running around. And while you're shopping, ignore all the peculiar stares of everybody, the customers, all the commotion going on. And then when you go to check out, you don't only pay for the stuff that you bought, but you're paying for all the stuff they ate and all the stuff they broke. And it said at the bottom, when you're ready for this, you're ready to be a mom. I think if that were sent out, probably none of us would even be here. You know, so it's like, man, it takes skill. It takes strength. It takes wisdom. It takes spiritual strength. And it's so sad in our culture that a mother, when you say, oh, you know, what do you do for a living? I'm a mom. I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I'm taking care of my children. It's almost like people look down on it. I read this story about Tony Campolo, a Christian author. He used to teach at the University of Pennsylvania. And so, you know, he's a big-time professor and a famous book author. And he'd go to these functions, and people would meet him, and they'd meet his wife. And so they'd say, "Oh, you're Tony Campolo's wife. You know, what do you do for a living?" And she'd say, "I'm a stay-at-home mom." And they'd always go, "Oh, how nice." You know, just like sort of put her down, but not really. So she came up with the best definition of what a mother is. So she said the next time she's at a party, they say, "What do you do?" "I am socializing two homo sapiens in the dominant values of Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order." Pause, and then look, "And what do you do?" Is that good? Is that good? That you need to memorize this, moms. "I am socializing two homo sapiens in the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order." Woo! There's motherhood right there. Well, just a couple of other things about this lady, though, Deborah. So it says here that she arose during a hard time, or God raised her up, actually, and her credentials, this is what I like, her credentials are, she's a mom. Doesn't have a bachelor's degree. She doesn't have, you know, training to be the judge. She doesn't have political. She got raised up. A mother. But we know a little bit about her. If you chapter 4, it does give us some information about Deborah. It's in verse 4, chapter 4, it says, "Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lippadoth, was judging Israel at that time." So there's something about this lady, and the description is she's a prophetess. She's a prophetess. And I think, you know, sometimes when we don't really grasp this understanding of prophetess, but I think this is no coincidence that she really, like in chapter 5, kind of introduces herself as a mother, because that was her highest calling. And really what I think is the connection between motherhood and prophesying is very, very close. I think probably mothers prophesy way more than they really understand. Really, this is really true. First of all, some of us misunderstand prophecy. We think it's for a select few. And in fact, in the Old Testament, the gift of prophecy or the position of a prophet was for a select few. But we are living in the New Testament times. And if you read in the book of Acts, chapter 2, Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. Jesus had ascended to heaven and gave gifts, specifically at that time, the gift of tongues. Peter stands up and he says, "This is the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament, that when Jesus ascended to heaven, he was going to pour out these gifts on everyone." And he said, "Your young men and your daughters will prophesy. They'll have dreams. They'll have visions. Rich, poor, old, young, everybody. These gifts are for everybody." But I think especially prophecy. I think probably most of us just don't think we can prophesy, but I'm here to tell you this morning, if you have been filled with God's Holy Spirit, you are already prophesying. You are. You're just not recognizing it, and I would encourage you to recognize it and press into it, because prophecy is powerful. It transforms people's lives. It gives direction. People hunger. Listen, all of us hunger to have a word spoken to us. I mean, isn't that a fact? And sometimes we need a word more often than not. But man, there's something about when someone says something, you know, I just see this in you, or I see this in your future, and I see God doing this. There's something about that. We crave that. And it actually gives us direction. It gives us something to aim for, gives us something to chase after, gives us something to hope in. And here's what I'm here to tell you this morning. Moms, if anyone can prophesy, you can. Prophets see things that other people don't see. Moms see things that other people don't see, especially in their children. You see things that other people don't see, and you speak them into existence, and they become transformational. They change a person's life. They give direction. When others don't see it, you do. I want to read you this story about Thomas Edison. When he was young, he was in elementary school. Listen to this. He came home from elementary school with a note from his teacher. "Dear Mom, your child is dumb. We cannot do anything with him." I don't think she'd get a raise as a teacher for that kind of note. This is true. "Your child is dumb. We cannot do anything with him." Thomas Edison's mom sends a note back to the teacher, not through her son, just sends a note back. "Dear teacher, you do not understand my son. I will teach him." She homeschooled him. Years later, Thomas Edison, in his autobiography, writing about growing up and his mom, here's what he says. "My mother cast over me an influence that lasted all of my life. The good effects of her early training were never lost, and if it had not been for her faith in me at a critical time, I never would have become an inventor. Her sweetness, her goodness, her potent powers kept me on the right path. My mother is the making of me." She spoke life into her son when others didn't see it. And this is the story of Deborah. So here's this lady, she's called a prophetess, and you read through the chapter here, and you see, like, go on down to like verse 14, she's actually prophesying, she's speaking things, she's sensing the Holy Spirit, and so she says to Barak, verse 14, then she says to Barak, "Up, for this is the day which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before him?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. She prophesied. Now, she just, you know, this gift of prophecy is just learning how to see what see what God sees, speak what God says. It's knowing when to speak. It's knowing when not to speak. But I truly believe of all people on the earth, moms, especially Christian moms filled with God's Holy Spirit, have this gift powerfully flowing in you. And if I can do anything this morning, I encourage you, be intentional about it. Speak life into people, especially your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephew. The influence is far lasting. And when no one else will speak into that person, you can be the person who speaks into them. It doesn't take credentials. You don't have to be credentialed to be a prophet. You do need the Holy Spirit of God. I want to close with a passage out of Amos. If you want to turn to this in the book of Amos. Amos chapter 7. This is Amos. He says, "I was no prophet, nor was I the son of a prophet. But I was a sheep breeder, a tender of a sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me and said, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.'" See, here's the thing. Prophets come in all shapes and sizes. You may be from a lineage of people who prophesy. Maybe that is in your heritage. Maybe it isn't. Maybe you're taking care of sheep. Maybe you're a farmer. Maybe you're a dad. Maybe you're a mom. Maybe you're a big brother. Maybe you're a big sister. Doesn't matter. God can call you to prophesy. And when you see things and when you sense things, it's so healthy to check in with God God, you want me to say this? And when you say it, you're speaking life into people. You're giving them direction, and it becomes fulfillment. You may not harvest it for a week or a month or a year, but it will produce. The gift of prophecy, the powerful gift. Moms, you got it. Amen? Amen. Let's do this. Mom, let's have all the moms stand up here this morning. Roxanne, if you'd come up, I'd like for you to pray over our moms this morning.
Sisterhood. So we just come to you, Holy Father, and we just thank you, Father, for allowing us to be women and for allowing us to give birth to the next generation, Father God. And we thank you for giving us the grace and the wisdom to raise our children. Father, continue to help us, especially the young mothers, Father. Help the older women to help the younger women, encourage them in motherhood, Father. And Lord, thank you for this beautiful day that is glorifying our position as mothers. And I know there's spiritual mothers as well, Father God. And we just thank you, Father, for allowing us to speak into others' lives, Father. And Father, we know that love covers a multitude of sin. And so in my imperfection, in my sister's imperfection, Father God, you've covered through our love and your love towards us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's have our ushers come forward. Everybody stand up. We're going to close with our song and pray for our offering. Everybody stand up. Getting a couple of words that just stirred in my spirit right now. One of them is fresh start. I just sense the Holy Spirit's wanting to give some of us here a fresh start this morning. And for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe it's a mistake you've made in the past that just keeps haunting you, or something that happened to you. But I just sense this morning the Holy Spirit saying today, fresh start. You can let it go. You can let it go. Bible says his mercies are new every morning, and I just sense this morning God's offering a fresh start here. A fresh start, man, a fresh start. Also, I just sense healing. I just sense the healing power of God. Some of us need some healing this morning, touched by the Holy Spirit. I got this word respiratory. Somebody struggling, breathing problems. Also, sleeping issues, not getting sleep at night. Migraine headaches that just seem to keep coming back again and again. Who am I speaking to? Who's dealing with some of this stuff here this morning? Need some physical healing this morning. Physical healing. Right over here, Lon. Hold your hand up. Yep. Let's have our prayer team. If you would just hold your hand up if you need prayer this morning. You need prayer. You need that fresh start. You need God's Holy Spirit to touch you. Would you just, people that are part of our prayer team, just let's go lay hands. If you're next to somebody, we're gonna close with a song. Just invite you to stay in the presence of the Lord. This is a time for God to speak to you personally, give you a touch by his Holy Spirit.
wanna feel your presence in this place. And I wanna know a pure and righteous love. I wanna see, I wanna be undone. Come, Holy Spirit, come, rushing light.
Week, and we can't wait to see you again next week.